Good morning. The shiur today is dedicated to the 60th Yom HaAtzmaut, the 60th birthday of Medinat Yisrael, Ad Lo Netzach. We don't say Ad Me'ev Esam Shana, this is forever. And we established that in last week's shiur, that there will never be another exile of the Jewish people from this country. And as the country has been living on miracles for the last 60 years, there are even more miracles going on now to keep this country going. It's unbelievable. We need it, otherwise we're in serious trouble. It was born in miracles. It is one big miracle, and well, we need God on our side. Okay, that's enough. You'll see at the top of the page it says that this is the we're learning today the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach. Now, when I say the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach, I mean the last day of Pesach in Chutz Laretz, day 8, that we don't read on day 8 of Pesach, because we don't have a day 8 of Pesach. By the way, I just, you know, there are different times of year when hundreds of thousands of birds pass Eretz Yisrael on their way down south for the winter, and then they come back. We, Baruch Hashem, have a whole bunch of birds that have flown back to roost over here, and we welcome you all back. Wherever you come, I would mention you by name, but today is a special day of return, just in time for Yom HaTzmaut. All right, it is the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach, day 8. In order to understand what the certainly is an extremely amazing halacha, just turn over to the top of the second side, and the top of the second side is from the Shulchan Aruch Orachayim, where the Shulchan Aruch says the following: Simam l'kriyat hamoadim. There is a sign, an acronym, a reminder by which we can know when Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, when they will occur. And it's a very fascinating one. It's built on what's called Atbash. What's Atbash? Atbash was a kind of code that was used. It was used in the Gemara. Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet, and it corresponds to Tav, which is the last letter. Bet corresponds to Shin. For example, there are places in the Gemara where the Gemara uses the name Sheshach for Babel. Bet equals Shin, a second Bet equals Shin, and then the Chof and the Lamed are the two letters that are next to each other, and in this code they are interchangeable. Now you need to watch this fascinating code. The code is At Bash Gar Dak Hatz Fach. Now if you'll be able to say this over to somebody, you will, this is going to be very impressive. So it's worthwhile listening to. And then, of course, the end is going to blow your mind. At, and you know what? The Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. You know what they correspond to? The days of Pesach. First day of Pesach, Aleph, Bet, second day, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. At. Now the Shulchan Aruch says, Pesach. Beyond Nishon shall Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, Yiela Olam Tisha B'Av. This coming Tisha B'Av, even if you haven't looked at a calendar, you should know that this Tisha B'Av is going to be on a Sunday. The first day of Pesach was Sunday. So therefore Tisha B'Av is going to be on Sunday. And there's another simon for this. Al Matzot Umirorim Yochluhu. Pesach is Matzah freedom. And what is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is Maror, the bitterness of destruction and suffering. At Bash Biyom Sheni, Bet is the second letter of the Aleph Bet. Shin is the next to last letter. They correspond to each other. The second day of Pesach, which was Monday, will be Shavuos. Bet. Shavuos is going to be on Monday. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, Ubiyom Shlishi Bo, what was the third day of Pesach? Was on Tuesday. Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Tuesday. What's the third simon? At Bash Gar. Gar. Gimel. The third day of Pesach is going to be Reish. Rosh Hashanah. The next part of the simon is Dak. Dalid, corresponding to Kof. Biyom Revi'i Bo, the fourth day of Pesach, which was Wednesday. Yeah, this year everything goes according to the order of the days of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yom Aleph and Bet and Gimel. Wednesday is going to be Kuf Kriyat HaTorah. Simchas Torah is going to be on Wednesday. All right. Now, huh? No. By us. By the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, Simchas Torah is Shmini Atzeres. Right. We'll look at a calendar later, or we'll wait until the new calendars come out. I'm going further. Beyond Chamishi Bo, what's Hey? Hey is. No, we'll check it out. Hey is Tzadik. Tzadik stands for Tzom, fast. So that Yom Kippur is going to be on Thursday. Yom Kippur is going to be on Thursday. B'yom Chamishi Bo is Tzom Kippur. B'yom Shishi at Bash Gar Dak Hatz Vav. The Vav equals Friday, right? And the face stands for Purim. But the preceding Purim, what day was Purim on this year? It was Friday. What's supposed to blow your mind is, if we would continue this simon that was written by the Shulchan Aruch hundreds of years ago, what's the next letter we come up to? Zion. And what's the corresponding? What is the corresponding letter at the other end of the alphabet? Ayin. The seventh day of Pesach is Yom Ha'atzmaut. The seventh day of Pesach was Shabbos. Yom Ha'atzmaut this year is Shabbos. I say, not only did we have a Purim Mishulash this year, we also, and I think Phil wrote this up in the Torah tidbits, that I had once coined the term an Erev Pesach Mishulash, a 3-day Erev Pesach, because this year we had the fast of the firstborn was on Thursday, Bedikas Chometz and burning the Chometz Thursday night, Friday, and then the end of eating the Chometz is on Shabbos, so it's a 3-day Erev Pesach. So we have, whenever there's a 3-day Purim, and there's a 3-day Erev Pesach, there's a 3-day Yom Ha'atzmaut. Because it's really Shabbos is Hayyar. They don't make it on Friday, so there shouldn't be a Chil Shabbos. So it goes back to Wednesday, to Thursday. Thursday. So it's Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. And of course there will be those who will ask questions on what day do you say Hallel, or there will be those who will ask questions on what day don't you say Hallel, right? And there will be those who say, well, you say Hallel on all 3 days, if it's a Sabbath already, so. We celebrate with all of Klal Yisrael and Yitzhak Hashem on Thursday. So you know what it means? It means, therefore, and that's precisely, I believe, why they did it. What was the Zion of Pesach? This is the Haftarah that was read. And we read this on Yom HaTzmaut. We didn't have an Achron Shel Pesach, Lez Dev Pesach. In our Siddurim, in our Zionist Siddurim, this is the Haftarah. It is so apt. It is so fitting. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we're going to try and go through it. I have a lot to say, and we're going to try and say as much as we can. And whatever we can't get said, you know, we're all going to be here in Yetz Hashem next year. Somebody's, what do you call it, knitting? Somebody back there, knitting. Okay, I'll suffer for this. It begins at the end of chapter 10 in Yeshayahu. Do you know what's happening here? What's happening here is Sanherib, king of Ashur, has brought about, most probably, the first frightening and terrifying destruction of Eretz Yisrael, a Shoah. He has conquered the 10 tribes, sent them off into exile. 80% of Klal Yisrael had been sent off into exile. Talking about a horde of awesome proportions. 80% of Eretz Yisrael has been laid waste. And Sanherib and his hordes continue the march, and they are now, the Navi had described, city after city, town after town, as he passes, he conquers, he destroys. It may be at this point already 90% of Eretz Yisrael is under the heel of Sanherib. Only one prize is left, Yerushalayim. And Od Hayom the Nov La'amod, he says, today we're going to make it to Nov. We're going to make it to Nov. Nov is someplace around Neve Yaakov. And he arrives at Nov, and he takes a look from there. He's able to look down and see Yerushalayim. And you know what he does? You know, faith yado ha batzio. In Yiddish, it's so beautiful. He sort of dismisses the city from where he is perched. At the Ve'akov, he looks down, and it looks to him like compared to the other cities that he has already destroyed utterly. What's Yerushalayim? Sedunishman, Givat Yerushalayim. It's sort of a little town and a hamlet. And he says, therefore, we're going to stop here, and tomorrow morning we're going to conquer Yerushalayim. So we're talking about one of those awesome and frightening periods in Jewish history. But there was no next morning, because that night the angel of death swooped down upon the camp of Sanherib and wiped them out. Sanherib flees back home. A plague had overcome them. Who was it that told me, reminded me last week, we talked about the Battle of El Alamein? There he is. It's the law. Right? So he reminded me, he told me a few years ago, Rommel was defeated at El Alamein. So it seems the American army checked, they found out. You know what happened? It was not because the Montgomery is given as our Geuse general. The German army was suffering from shigellosis. Is that it? Shigellosis. By the way, there was an article about it in the paper about shigellosis yesterday or 2 days ago. that they have found some cases in Eretz Yisrael. Shigellosis is terrible, terrible diarrhea. At the crucial battle of El Alamein, the German army was sick. Now, this of course could be seen as just one of those quirks of history, or is it a Gabay Shalom over there that runs the world? You want to conquer Eretz Yisrael, you bunch of Rishoyim, you're going to be laid waste by diarrhea. And then the American army confirmed that this is exactly what happened. They were all sick. And here it is, Sanhedrin has surrounded Yerushalayim, he's ready for the final thrust. They don't get up in the morning. And the Pasuk says it, Hineha Adon Hashem Tzarkot Mesei Pura B'Ma'arasa. The Lord Hashem, Master of Legions, will lop off the branches with an axe. The branches and the trees are the terms that describe the mighty warriors. They're going to be cut down. Mesaif Pura B'Ma'arasa. The Ramei Hakoma, those that are tall, Giduim, cut down. The Hakifawim, and the high ones, Yishpahu, will be brought down and humbled. The Nikaf Sitche Hayab Abazel, the Halavanon Ba'adir Yipol, forest thickets will be hewn by iron, and the Lebanon will fall through a mighty one. This is how the Navi describes the destruction of the forces of Sanherev. Miracle. Miracle. Chapter 11. Huh? Is that what? We sing about it. One of the songs by Yehi Bachatzi Halayla, and it came to pass in the middle of the night that we sing on the night of Pesach. One of the events that took place in the middle of the night was the destruction of the forces of Sanherib. Now comes chapter 11. Chapter 11 is most probably the greatest chapter in all of Tanakh. And now, it's not like I always say it, that every chapter is the greatest chapter in Tanakh, but this is it, because this is the great chapter of Mashiach. V'yotza chotem gezer Yishai, a staff is going to grow from the stump of Yishai, the netzer misharashov yifeh, and a shoot will sprout from his roots. Gezer Yishai, that's David. Somebody from the house of David is going to rise. And the Navi is going to go on here to describe the awesome and dramatic changes that are going to take place in the time of Mashiach. V'nochal of Ruach Hashem, Ruach Hachu, Bino, Ruach Hezo, Vura, Ruach Dav, Yirach Hashem, and the Spirit of Hashem will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of Hashem. He will be sensed with the fear of Hashem. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor will he decide by what his ears hear. Mashiach is going to have an uncanny divine ability to pass judgment on people and on nations. Shofat b'tzedek dalim, he will judge the destitute with righteousness. V'hochiyar ben misholam ve'odet, and he will decide with fairness for the humble of the earth. V'hika eretz b'shevet piv, and he's going to strike with the breath of his mouth, he's going to slay the wicked. Righteousness will be the girdle around his loins. Ezer, chalosov, and faith will be the girdle of his waist. Now, of course, we come to the great psukim. They're all great psukim. And the wolf will dwell with the sheep. The gorza age in keves. The wolf is going to dwell with the sheep. The nomer and the leopard in Gedi Yirvatz is going to lie down with the goat. The egel, ukfir, umeli, yagdav, a calf, a lion, and a fatling, that's a cow, yagdav, all of them together. The nar kotan noheibam, and a little child is going to lead them. I mean, it's an unbelievable, beautiful description of the peace and tranquility that is going to descend upon the earth at the time of Mashiach. Ufor of a dove tirena, a cow and a bear will graze together. Yaradov Yir Bitsu Yaldeh, their children are going to lie down together. Va'arye Kaboko Yochal Tever. And a lion, like the cattle, is going to eat the hay, straw. Unbelievable, but dramatic changes. Vishiyashayonek Al-Khul Paten. A suckling, a little child. A little child is going to play by the hole, the hole of a poten, a poisonous snake, and a child is going to stretch out his hand into the hole in which there's a poisonous snake. There will neither be injury nor destruction in all of my sacred mountain. Because the world is going to be full with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. And it will come to pass on that day. We've had quite a description of that day. And it will come to pass on that day. Shodesh Yishai, the root of Yishai, Mashiach, V'yotza Choter Nigeza Yishai, it said. Asher Omeid L'Neis Amim, who is going to remain standing. He will be a banner for all of the people. Elov Goyim Yidroshu, the nations of the world will seek him. V'aykamenu Chato Kavod, and his resting place will be glorious. We're not talking about a resting place, a final resting place. We're talking about where he is going to be king, and that's going to be in Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to say the most dramatic of all of the psukim is the next one, but we'll do one more pasuk and then we'll talk about it. On that day, Yosef Hashem Shenit Yado, God is going to stretch out his hand a second time. Liknot et Sheoramo, to acquire the remnants of his people. Asher Yishoer, that will remain from Ashur and Mitzrayim and Patros and Cush and Elam and Shinar, Hamat, Meyeyam. God is going to stretch out his hand again in order to acquire his people. One more passage. The Nosam Neis Lagoyim, he is going to lift the banner to the nations for Osaf Nitzchei Yisrael, and he's going to gather in the dispersed of Israel, Unifutzot Yehuda Yekabetz, the exiles of Yehuda who would gather in, may Arbak Hanfot Ha'aretz, the great pasuk, one of the many great psukim in Tanakh that describe the ingathering of the exiles. On that day, God will gather in, stretch out his hand to acquire his people for a second time. When is that going to be? When is it? Is there any way with which we can identify when that is? I think it would be very important if we could. Rashi identifies it, the Haddak identifies it, and Rashi identifies it in an extremely significant way. Second side, number three. We're going to get back to number two. Shemis. Second time means Kemoshe Kana'ami Mitzchayim, the way he acquired them when he took them out of Egypt. Shaita Gu'ulatam Berura. Their redemption was clear. There were no strings attached. May ein shibud, without being enslaved to anybody. Do you know what it means? There's nobody over the Jewish people. It's going to be a second time when we will be independent. Now Rashi points out, Avol Geulat Bayit Sheni Eina Min Aminyan. The Navi here cannot be talking about when Jews are going to come back in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah in order to build the second Beit HaMikdash. The Navi can't be talking about that. Do you know why? When Jews came back, they were a vassal state of the Persian Empire. A second time means it has to be like the first. When he took them out of Egypt, they became a free people, the masters of their own destiny. The Navi is talking about that second time. Now, from the time that Yeshayahu said it, there's been only one time in history when that happened. 60 years ago. Now, the Radak is going to add another identifying factor. The Navi in this passage said that God is going to stretch out his hand for a second time to bring back the remnants of his people from Asher and Mitzrayim and Patros and Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamas, the islands around the world. The Radak says it could not be talking about the second Commonwealth, the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, because Jews didn't come back from all the world. They came only from Babel. Only from Babel. So when is this great day, by Yom Ha'hu, that God is going to stretch out his hand for a second time and acquire his people? It has to be at a time when there is an ingathering of exiles from all over the world. That's exactly what has happened here in the course of the last 60 years. There is no question about it, therefore, that the Navi is describing our period in history. There is no doubt about it. With all of its problems, with all of the fears that we live with, it's not a perfect situation yet, but it's not a matter of, God, what did you do for me lately? Alright? What he may want us to say is, boy, we need you now that more than we ever needed you before. We need you now more than we ever needed you before. It's very clear that this great chapter 11, especially chapter 11, pasuk 11, you can really wow people if you tell them, just look at 11:11 in Yeshayahu, and take a look at the Rashi in 11:11. That's the pasuk we're learning now. V'hoyah b'yom ahu, God is going to stretch out his hand for a second time to acquire his people. It is definitely a description of our time. You know, that's pretty good press when you find our period of time so clearly outlined for you right there in Yeshayahu, in this great passage that describes the beginnings of the Messianic era. So maybe religious Zionists do have some kind of a case that this the entire experience of the last 60 years has tremendous religious significance and meaning. Of course, that which puts us at loggerheads with other groups within the religious community. Pasuk Yud Aleph in Yeshayahu, chapter 11, makes this the case without any doubt whatsoever. Alright. Let's take a look at the Radak number 5 over there. Radak 5. For how your shame is the second time God will extend his hand to bring us in. Ki shona kono otami beit avadim mitzrayim. The first time God acquired us is when he took us out of the house of bondage in Egypt. Ubiyom kibbutz golias, on the day that God gathered us in, Yosef Hashem shenis yodo l'knoso mikol agoyim, he is going to extend his hand for a second time to acquire us from all of the nations asher nafotzu sham, where they have been dispersed. Valgolos Babylon Marze. This passage is not talking about the return from the Babylonian exile. Kilo Yotzrel Yehudo Binyamin. Shahoyu Golos Baba. The only ones who came were the tribes of Yehud and Binyamin that came from Babel. The 10 tribes were lost who knows where in the world. So the Radak is really following the lead of Rashi. There's a slight difference between Rashi and the Radak. The Rashi stresses the quality of this second taking. That this second taking of God, by God of the Jewish people, is one in which they are independent and they are not part of some great empire. They're not a vassal state. And the Radak is stressing the quantity. Different. It's all different. From all over the world. And not only the tribes of Yehuda Binyamin. There will be other tribes coming. I mean, is Radak saying maybe, is he talking about Ethiopian Jewry? Is he talking about B'nai Menashe? Is he talking about Jews that are coming, lost communities that have come back there? So the Kibbutz Golios is awesome. The big problem in this parak is the following. Why does this great prophecy of the Messianic era, the coming of a Mashiach, his personality, his greatness, and what's going to happen, where does it come particularly at this juncture, at this moment in Yeshayahu? We're talking right now about Sanhedrin, King of Ashur, 2,700 years ago, who was standing in Ve'yakov, looking down at Yerushalayim, you know, faith, yado, machavek mitaham. And all of a sudden, we're talking about Mashiach. What prompted this? And this is considered the most significant chapter in Tanakh about Mashiach. There are others where mention is made, what the period of time is going to be like. But here it talks about the personality of Mashiach, who he will be, what he will be, what family he will come from. Everything is here. What's he doing here? What's he doing here? So there's something that's said by Rashi, and this is expanded on by the Malbim. And then, I think it's been many, many years since I said something that I was Zeifer to hear from Rav Avram, a Kohen Palm Zeifer Tzabek Yadrocha, who is the Tzur of Paragnas, and I think it needs to be said again. Rashi alludes to it, the Malbim makes it clear. The possibility of the coming of Mashiach is possible only from the first moment of exile. Geula, redemption, and Kibbutz Golios, the ingathering of the exiles, can only come when you have exiles. The first moment in Jewish history at which there were exiles was Sanhedrin, who had exiled 80% of the Jewish population of Eretz Yisrael. If you have exiles, then you know what? Now begins the prayer and the hope for what? What's going to be with them? What's going to be with them? Here they are. 80% of the Jewish people have been cut off from their people. The Malbim goes one step further. And the Malbim says, when there is exile, then you should already be able to sense the footsteps of Mashiach. And the possibilities of Mashiach are two. One is, it may be a process, or it can happen in one glorious single instant in time. The Gemara says this from many different psukim, that there is a Mashiach that comes b'ito in its proper time. That means it's part of a process, a historic process. And by the way, the fact that it's part of a historic process means that there are some people who just don't see it, or they don't get it. It just doesn't add up. Especially people who assume that the coming of the Mashiach is going to be the heavens opening up and a white jet plane, and he comes down. That's one possibility. But there's another significant possibility, and that is it will be part of a historic process. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to take time. So now anybody who believes that obviously can see a historic process here, but I tell you, it goes back 200 years, maybe even 400 years. When the first, I'll take it back here, 600 years, the Ramban came to Yerushalayim, and there were two dyers living in the city. You know, people that dyed clothing. There were two Jews. He was the third. When the Ramban came to Yerushalayim, he made a mezuzah. You know what he did then? He started looking around for Jews living in some of the villages around until he was able to put together a minyan. Now you just do a little fast forward. I always say, I'd love to see Rabbi Akiva, the Ramban, the face of Yehuda Halevi. I would love to see them in the middle of the afternoon rush hour in Yerushalayim, where this place becomes more tied up and more bottlenecked than the LIE in rush hour. And they'll be standing there white. They won't believe what they're going to see. A blessed traffic jam in Yerushalayim, Eir HaKadosh. I tell you. Oh, I'd love to see the looks on their faces. I'd love to see it, you understand? Very. Rav Palm, building on the Rashi and the Malbim, establishes a law in Jewish history. The law in Jewish history takes down at the bottom of the first page. You shall know in your heart. You should know in your heart that just as a father will chastise his son, so Hashem your God chastises you. There are times that divine wisdom, or maybe divine, I wanted to say disengagement, but I don't like that word. In a sense, a divine concealing. There are times when the divine conceals himself. Says it at the end of Torah, "Va'anochi hastir hastir panai b'yom ahu." I'm going to conceal myself. I'm going to be hidden on that day. And in this period of God's concealment, the Jewish people suffer, and suffer terribly. So you should know that whatever happens to the Jewish people, it flows from a God who is a father. So Rav Palm said the following. There's a corollary to this pasuk. I have to say, I heard it most probably 30 years ago on a tape. And then I happened to be Zohar that I was 12, 15 years ago, I was in Toronto, and that Shabbos Rav Palm was also in Toronto. And he was going to speak at one of the shuls, and of course I was there, and as soon as he started talking, boy did I know what he was going to say. I could finish his sentences, but I didn't do it. I just sat back and I listened with absolute amazement that I deserved to hear this from him. Directly. So he said the following. The corollary is the following. What does a father do after he chastises a son? He will go out of his way l'chabekoto. He will go out of his way to rebuild the relationship. To return, he had to chastise, and he chastised. But you don't believe it like that. Then what a father does is an outpouring of love and affection to show the child, I care, I really love you. So Rav Palm said, this is the cloud in Jewish history. After every period of suffering comes a period of an outpouring of God's love for his people, to the extent that that period following the suffering has within it the possibility of being the period of the coming of the Mashiach. So great is God's outpouring of love. And then he went on to point out four periods in history. The first period of history is Haftarah. 80% of Klal Yisrael have been exiled. 80% of Eretz Yisrael has been razed, burned to the ground. All that's left is Yerushalayim. And the Jews in Yerushalayim are starving. We're talking about a tragedy of awesome proportions has befallen the Jewish people. The Navi Yeshayahu is saying, this is the time at which the possibility exists for the coming of Mashiach. And therefore comes Perek 11, V'yotza chotem yigezer Yishai. And the fact is that the Gemara says, V'yish HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make, who was the king then? Who was the king of Eretz Yisrael, the king of Yerushalayim? Was Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Melech HaMashiach, and Sancheret should be Gog of Magog, the great force that is going to try and destroy the Jewish people. And the Gemara says, Goramachet, there was a sin, and what could have been didn't happen. Tragic, but what could have been didn't happen. The second period in Jewish history is the period of Rabbi Akiva. Jews had suffered under the heel of Rome in a terrifying way. Churban Abayit, Yerushalayim burned to the ground, Jews dispersed, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Jews were killed by the Romans. It was terrible. When Rabbi Akiva said about Bar Kochva, Dein Malka Mashiach, this man is King Mashiach, what was it that prompted him to say this? First, because after the kind of suffering that Jews had gone through, the next thing that has to happen is the outpouring of God's love for his people. This is it. And then when they see a man with such awesome strength and such power and such leadership, this is the one. The Chol Chachmei Doro that Amram says, it was not only Rabbi Akiva who said that, all the wise men of the generation. Were they mistaken? Were they wrong? Elo, that Aaron says, Shabbat Amachet. There was a sin. There was a sin. The Talmud Yerushalmi tells us, gives us an insight into the sin. They quote, sort of, Bar Kochba having said, listen, God, we don't need you on your side, on our side. Just don't be on the side of the enemy. Just leave us be. In other words, a sense of, I don't believe he said it, but there may have been this feeling, you know, the measure we can do the job, the hubris, that. I didn't have a cold this whole winter. And my throat is going on me now. I think it's between Pesach and Shavuos, you know. It's cold and then it's hot. It's cold and it's hot. It's hot in the... give it to me after class, so I'll have it for the next... Meanwhile, this is doing it for my next year. I have two more shurim to say today. Bye. God Almighty, take me through it. So he says, because of the suffering of the Jewish people under Rome, Rabbi Akiva felt it in his neshama. And when he sees Bar Kochba, this Dein Malka Mashiach he is. He is Melech Mashiach. The third period in Jewish history was the period of the Chachmei HaKabbalah of Tzfat. We're talking about 16th century Tzfat. 16th century Tzfat, if you want to get a clear picture of what was the mood, how did they feel, what did they see before their very eyes, all you have to do is go through Luchot Hodi. Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, one of the Kabbalists in Tzfat, middle of the 16th century, 1540, 1550, Migdash Melech Ir Melucha, the sanctuary of God, the city of kingdom. Migdash Melech Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzi, arise, go out of Afrecha. Kumi, Migdash Melech Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzi, Mitoch Afrecha, Ki? Huh? Rav Lashebet Ve'emek Habacha. Enough! Enough, you're sitting in the valley of tears. God is going to have great mercy, pity, and compassion upon you. What comes after? Uri, Uri, Shir Tapeni. Who is he saying should awaken and sing? Who should sing? Yerushalayim. He told Hashem because the honor and glory of God is shining upon you. It's already. Arise, awaken, kivo orech, because your light is shining upon you. I'm going to take a sitter from you. The whole thing is talking about. It's all talking about the Mashiach. Here, Itnavi, get the dust off. May offer kumi. Stand up from the dust, the dirt. Lidshi big days is varteich. Ami, put on your raiments, your robes of splendor. Al yad ben Yishai beit halachmi, through ben Yishai of Bethlehem. Korvel nafshi gol. I'm coming close to redemption. They feel the redemption all around them. Yeah. Kvod Hashem alayich nigla, lo tevoshi v'lo tikoma, etc. The nivnita ir altila, the city is going to be built, rebuilt. They see a Yerushalayim coming up out of the dust. V'hoyolim shisha shosoyach, those who robbed you and trampled you, they shall be trampled. V'rochakul koma v'alayich, all those who want to destroy you are going to be distant from here. Yosis alayich elokayach, kim seis chosam al-kala, God is going to be full of joy with you like a chosam is with a kala. Yomin u'smol tifrot, so you're going to spread out to the right, to the left. Expansionist Israel, you understand? Expansionist. But Hashem Tanitzi, Al Yad Ish Ben Parzi. Who is the man that is Ben Parzi? The one that comes from Peretz, from the children of Yehuda? That's Mashiach. V'nishmecha v'nagila. We're going to be happy and full of joy. The whole song of Luchot Hodi is a song written by somebody who sees already before his very eyes redemption, Mashiach, light, Yerushalayim rising from the dust. Klal Yisrael powerful. What's going on over here? Historically, there was something else that happened in that in the middle of that 16th century. Something that never happened before, and anything like it that has happened since then really doesn't even count. They seriously set about reestablishing a Sanhedrin. We're talking about serious people, giants. And in order to reestablish the Sanhedrin, you have to have smicha, the ordination that in a sense is similar to the ordination that Moshe Rabbeinu ordained Yehoshua. And that can be done according to the Rambam. If Chachmei Eretz Yisrael decide, the wise men of Eretz Yisrael decide to give somebody smicha, that smicha now makes him somebody who can be a member of a Sanhedrin that compares judgment on capital crimes, understand? Death penalty. Unbelievable. Who did they give smicha to? Some of the giants, Rabbi Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, was one of those who received smicha. And then, of course, there broke out, became a struggle between the Chachmei Yerushalayim and the Chachmei Tzfat, those who were for smicha, those who were against smicha. You know, big machlekes and serious ones. That just makes our lives more interesting. You understand? We always. But this was a machlekes of giants. It was a machlekes of giants. Sir Tom asked, what got into them that they wanted to make a Sanhedrin? Says it was obvious. You have to understand the devastation of the Jewish world after the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. It tore apart the entire world order of the Jewish community. Hundreds of thousands died. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of others were forcibly converted. Jews set out, I'm trying to think of it now, they set out on all sorts of, I don't know whether they seaworthy or unseaworthy boats to get out of Spain and Portugal. They, Mamish, it sounds like the Exodus. Sounds like the Exodus. Many died at sea, and then little by little communities had to start to rebuild. They started in Holland, and in Italy, and in Turkey. It was a hornet of the Jewish world. And then there were those who made it to Eretz Yisrael. Some of the great Chachmei HaKabbalah made it to Eretz Yisrael. But the Jewish world was not what it was before the expulsion of Spain. They saw Churban all around them. So you know what they felt? You know what they knew in their kishkes? They knew in their kishkes that this is a period of time where it is possible. The moment is possible for the coming of Mashiach. And they wanted to prepare all the groundwork for it. We're going to need a Sanhedrin. We're going to rebuild Yerushalayim. They sang about Yerushalayim. They turned to Yerushalayim. They looked to Yerushalayim. And it didn't happen. We don't know why it didn't happen. I don't know, maybe if another few hundred thousand Jews would have come then, who knows what could have happened. That was the third period. So the first is Sanhedrin, right over here in Yeshayahu. The second is Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba, the third of the great people of Tzfat. And then Rav Pam said, the fourth obviously is the Shoah and the establishment of the State of Israel. The establishment of the State of Israel was God's great embrace of his people following the Shoah. Because following the Shoah, it can't be a simple embrace. It has to be an embrace and an act of love that goes far beyond anything that ever happened in Jewish history. And there's no question about it, that the establishment of the state is one of the most exceptional, I don't know the right word to use, it's unparalleled in world history, not in Jewish history, it's unparalleled in world history. There never was anything of the sort. And it was all an act of, it was all Hashgach HaPrabbas. Without Hashgach HaPrabbas, boy, we wouldn't last a day over here. So that was the fourth period. That's what the Navi Yeshayahu was saying. Following Sanhedrin, there has to be the possibility of Mashiach, or the beginning of the Messianic era, or you can feel the footsteps of Mashiach, or you have to prepare for it. But to say, God forbid, to say that the state, the establishment of the state, has no religious significance is kfira. It's an act of absolute blasphemy. And to make sure that one is not blasphemous, I say Hallel with great kavana on Yom HaTzmaut, in order to make it absolutely clear, that I see, and every Fruma Jew has to look at all of the events of the last 60 years in the light of Hasbrach Pratis. I remember hearing from the Yankov Kamenetsky, and I saw it in his safe. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm quoting the Dole Yisrael, so if any of you have an Einichel, you understand, who's going to say Slichus and Kinnis on Yom HaTzmud, you can throw a few Gedolim at them. I don't need that. I can sense that any one of us here in this room, we knew that what was happening was Hashgacha Pratis and Nisim Gedolim. It's the ones who didn't experience it. But the poor kids who nobody has taught history to don't have a clue what happened between 45 and 48. Don't know a thing. 56, 67, 73, 76, 80, there's so much. You have to know that. You have to know all of that. So that you know that it is all a divine process. So therefore, Yitz Hashem, we will celebrate. And as I say, we don't say happy birthday Ad Meir V'Esten, happy birthday Ad Olam. Oh, Rav Yaakov said, I started saying it, wait. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that the establishment of the State of Israel saved faith by the Jewish people. Jewish people, a clan soul that came out of the Holocaust, was ready to reject God en masse. And what stopped it, nipped it in the bud, was if one would ask where was God at Auschwitz, the question was going to be, was God in Eretz Israel? All right. It saves the Emunah like Klal Yisrael. Thanks for...